Blackstone Audio presents Ecce Homo by Friedrich Nietzsche. Preface. 1. As it is my intention within a very short time to confront my fellow men with the very greatest demand that has ever yet been made upon them, it seems to me above all necessary to declare here who and what I am. As a matter of fact, this ought to be pretty well known already, for I have not held my tongue about myself. But the disparity which obtains between the greatness of my task and the smallness of my contemporaries is revealed by the fact that people have neither heard me nor yet seen me. I live on my own self-made credit, and it is probably only a prejudice to suppose that I am alive at all. I do but require to speak to any one of the scholars who come to the Ober Engadin in the summer in order to convince myself that I am not alive. Under these circumstances, it is a duty, and one against which my customary reserve, and to a still greater degree the pride of my instincts, rebel, to say, "Listen, for I am such and such a person. For heaven's sake, do not confound me with anyone else." 2. I am, for instance, in no wise a bogeyman or moral monster. On the contrary, I am the very opposite in nature to the kind of man that has been honored hitherto as virtuous. Between ourselves, it seems to me that this is precisely a matter on which I may feel proud. I am a disciple of the philosopher Dionysus, and I would prefer to be even a satyr than a saint. But just read this book. Maybe I have here succeeded in expressing this contrast in a cheerful and at the same time sympathetic manner. Maybe this is the only purpose of the present work. The very last thing I should promise to accomplish would be to improve mankind. I do not set up any new idols. May old idols only learn what it costs to have legs of clay. To overthrow idols, idols is the name I give to all ideals, is much more like my business. In proportion, as an ideal world has been falsely assumed, reality has been robbed of its value, its meaning, and its truthfulness. The true world and the apparent world, in plain English, the fictitious world and reality. Hitherto, the lie of the ideal has been the curse of reality. By means of it, the very source of mankind's instincts has become mendacious and false. So much so that those values have come to be worshipped which are the exact opposite of the ones which would ensure man's prosperity, his future, and his great right to a future. 3. He who knows how to breathe in the air of my writings is conscious that it is the air of the heights, that it is bracing. A man must be built for it, otherwise the chances are that it will chill him. The ice is near, the loneliness is terrible, but how serenely everything lies in the sunshine, how freely one can breathe, how much one feels lies beneath one. Philosophy, as I have understood it hitherto, is a voluntary retirement into regions of ice and mountain peaks, the seeking out of everything strange and questionable in existence, everything upon which hitherto morality has set its ban. Through long experience, derived from such wanderings in forbidden country, I acquired an opinion very different from that which may seem generally desirable, of the causes which hitherto have led to men's moralizing and idealizing. The secret history of philosophers, the psychology of their great names, was revealed to me. How much truth can a certain mind endure? How much truth can it dare? These questions became for me ever more and more the actual test of values. Error, the belief in the ideal, is not blindness. Error is cowardice. Every conquest, every step forward in knowledge, is the outcome of courage, of hardness towards oneself, of cleanliness towards oneself. I do not refute ideals. All I do is to draw on my gloves in their presence. Nitimur invetitum. With this device my philosophy will one day be victorious. For that which has hitherto been most stringently forbidden is, without exception, truth. 4.